Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Did You Hear That? A Patreon exclusive podcast for my patrons that does, and I do fucking deep dives into like the weirdest, creepiest parts of the internet and real world, because at some point I would love to do a deep dive on the Paris catacombs. I mean, it's gotta have amazing stories, right? And that's why we're all here, to hear stories. To have our ears tickled. Yes. Yes, like this. Yeah, like this. Maybe I should just do a podcast of me doing this for the entire, like, hour. All right. Anyway, so this week's deep dive is, if you didn't read the title, drum roll, please. Yes. Slender Man. This is one guy that needs no introduction. He is arguably the most popular and well-known creepypasta to have ever been born from the internet. In this episode, we're going to do, well, I say we're, but I really mean me. I'm going to do a deep, deep, deep dive into the origins of Slender Man, take a closer look at the terrifying stories and imagery associated with the character, and discuss his lasting impact on pop culture. From the unsettling, oh God, this chair. All right. From the unsettling found footage web series Marble Hornets to the horrific stabbing of a young girl by her classmates in 2014, allegedly inspired by the legend. Okay. Slender Man's legacy is a haunting reminder of the power of the internet to create and spread new myths and legends. So, grab your flashlight. Keep your eyes peeled for some notes and join me as we journey into the dark and unsettling realm of Slender. Yay, I finally got a short little musical intro. Ooh, yeah. Anyway, so as you know, I always write these scripts out beforehand, so they're a lot more formal. So you'll hear some of that formalness when I'm just reading straight from the script. Otherwise, this podcast would just be a fucking mess, like order-wise. But I'll try to keep as much casual quality that you guys heard from my first podcast. So let's talk about the birth of Slender Man. You've got to start from where he came from, right? Now, I know there is some controversy about the birth of Slender Man, so let me look up really quickly about my notes, because do 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 do. Why didn't I have this written before? All right, so here we go. So, there are several theories about Slender Man's origin. Obviously, these are all wrong because we all know where Slender Man started from, but here's what the internet is saying. So, some theorists believe that Slender Man is based on ancient folklore or mythology. I wonder who these theorists are because they obviously know nothing about a certain website. Anyway, so, for example, the character's distinctive appearance with his elongated limbs and featureless face bears some resemblance to certain depictions of the Fae, a group of supernatural beings from Celtic mythology. Others have suggested that Slender Man may be based on the Germanic legend of, please don't make me say that name, a giant who kidnaps children and drags them into the woods. To do what? Pfft, your guess is as good as mine, man. So, and then internet memes. Obviously, we know this is where he originated from, but it was interesting to find the other like options for where Slender Man might have originated from. For example, another place where he could have originated from, although this kind of ties into option two, which is the internet memes. The third one is called a collective consciousness. Another theory is that Slenderman is a manifestation of the collective unconscious or mass hysteria. According to this theory, the character is a projection of our fears and anxieties about the unknown and the supernatural. I mean, but we can't just magically think up something, right? There has to be some basis for it. And this option, like this, you know, possible option into Slenderman's origins kind of ties into the next one, which is a tulpa. Now, I don't know if you guys know what a tulpa is. I think for a lot of people, they first learned about a tulpa in a Supernatural episode. Oh, Supernatural. Anyway, so a tulpa is a concept from Tibetan Buddhism that refers to a thought form created by the power of meditation and visualization. Some theorists believe that Slenderman is a tulpa that has been created by the collective thought and beliefs of those who believe in the character. Except you wouldn't have known about the character of Slenderman if you hadn't first encountered him online. So, you know, the collective consciousness and tulpa is basically the same thing. I don't know why they have it in two different, like, categories. But yeah, so, but we all know where Slenderman really came from, right? Yeah, we do. Slenderman's origins can be traced back to the internet forum Something Awful in 2009, where users were challenged to create paranormal images and stories. And it was in this forum that creator Eric Knutson, I don't know, it's Swedish, under the username Victor Surge, posted a series of black and white images depicting a tall, faceless figure with long, spindly arms. And then in the note here, I had and tentacle-like appendages, but actually, the two images that I saw, like, that were the first images of him, I don't remember him having tentacles. I think tentacles might be a thing that was later created by other people. Anyway, so going back to those images, I remember seeing some of those images around the late... way before that. Around the early 2010, I'm gonna say, like, 2010, 11, maybe? Because a friend, like, shared it on Facebook. I don't know. This was when people were throwing sheep at each other and fucking, you know, whatever. There's this one particular image that has stayed with me over, like, a decade, even though I only saw it once, you know. And I think it was the second image that Eric posted when he first introduced Slenderman to the Something Awful community. You guys might know which one I'm talking about. It's the little girl on the slide ladder. She's in a playground, and it's full of other kids just running around, and in the background, Slenderman is just standing there, surrounded by all these happy little kids. You know, he's just some creepy, tall-ass, skinny, anorexic dude. Oh, sorry, I need some water. I've been talking all day. Yeah, I recorded four new scripts, and one of them was a lewd one, so there was a lot of I'm trying to do the, what is that, the Jason? No, the Michael thing. Is it Jason or Michael? I get confused. Anyways, yeah, so Slenderman's just standing there, surrounded by all these happy little kids. And, you know, obviously because it's a Photoshopped picture, the kids have no reaction to this scary thing that's right next to them. But, and you know, we know it's Photoshopped. I mean, there's no way this is a real picture, but it's still, I remember seeing it, and I remember the chill that just ran right up my spine, and it settled, like, in the base of my neck. And I was like, that is some good Photoshop. And, now that I mention it, there's another image that Victor, aka, or Eric, aka Victor, posted in the forums that I found to be also quite creepy. This one isn't an actual picture of our villain, but it's a bloody police report with writing that suggests that Slenderman pretty much drove everyone insane in the police station. And there was, like, blood splotches on it. It was pretty creepy. Anyway, so the images are were that he that were posted about Slenderman by Victor Surge were accompanied by fictional captions that suggested that he, you know who, had been haunting people for centuries, causing paranoia and leading to the disappearance of his victims. So, obviously, this is amazing. Like, the you could tell, like, in the Something Awful forums, like, when he first posts it, there is a comment, like, two posts down, and someone says, "This is going to, like, blow up." And they were right. The character's appearance and story, it caught on and fucking spread through the internet like wildfire. So, as more and more people started creating their own stories and images of Slender Man, the legend took on a life of its own. He, she, it, I don't fucking know, whatever, became associated with dark forests, abandoned buildings, and other eerie settings, and his ability to manipulate reality and cause madness in his victims made him a very popular subject for horror stories and video games. Slenderman's popularity grew rapidly, with fan communities forming around the character and, you know, creating their own stories, artwork, and even music inspired by this guy. He was featured in like internet forums everywhere, and like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. I don't know how long was MySpace around for. And his image was shared and reposted like everywhere. So, of course, you know, when you have this much like exposure to Slenderman, it's not long before he becomes a household name, and his popularity continued to grow as new stories and adaptations were created. In 2012, Slender, the 8 pages, a video game inspired by the legend, was released and quickly became a sensation. And in case you've never played the story or played the game or heard about it, I tried to play it. It made me sick. What a surprise. The game is a first-person horror game, and you're supposed to like go through a forest, and you know you're being stalked by Slender Man, and you've got to find like the fucking notes or something. Slender Man's popularity, so I wrote down, reached new heights. So a web series came out in 2009 that had to do with Slender Man that made him even more popular. The series follows a man named Jay as he investigates strange occurrences and phenomena surrounding the character. Marble Hornets spawned a number of spin-offs and imitators, solidifying Slender Man's place in popular fiction. So, despite the character's fictional origins, some people have claimed to have seen Slender Man in real life. So, which is, you know. And these reports only added to the mythos surrounding the character and helped fueled the belief in his existence. You know, remember how I said, like, you know, people, there were rumors that Slender Man had been created by I don't know why I'm doing this. Does this feel good? I don't know why I just wanted to do this. I think it's because I got tired of reading my script. Anyway, so remember earlierly, when I was discussing about the possible theories of Slender Man's origin, I discussed both tulpas and collective consciousness, and I think these two ideas, kind of, you know, if Slender Man does exist, he probably if Slender Man didn't exist, he probably would now if the whole idea of collective consciousness and tulpas were real, which I don't think so. And you know, like, but I it's and so you get these people who say like they've witnessed seeing Slenderman. I mean, gotta be honest, I don't know what's worse. Either these people really did meet Slenderman, or they didn't meet him, and maybe they saw something else. Something possibly. Something even worse. Of course, you know, there's always the possibility. I mean, obviously, that they were lying and or mistaken, but still all kinds of horrifying to think that a creature like the Slender Man could actually exist in real life. So, as Slender Man's popularity continued to grow, so did the number of stories and adaptations featuring the character. Like, I think off the top of my head, I can think of 3 movies that feature Slender Man. And of course, many of these stories are deeply disturbing and terrifying, featuring graphic descriptions of violence and terror. And all of those movies were fucking dog shit, just saying right now. I mean, no offense to anyone who liked them, but they were not great. Anyway, so obviously when you're talking about Slender Man, you can't avoid talking about the Slender Man stabbings, which occurred in 2012 in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Now, you might be one of those, no, it was only like 9 years ago, so you probably know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so 2 12-year-old girls lured a classmate into the woods. Classmate, it was their friend, and they stabbed her 19 times. 19 times, claiming that they did so to impress Slender Man and avoid being harmed by him. Which, you know, I read the news article that said they were, like, avoiding trying to be harmed by him. But, like, there's other places where it's, like, they wanted to impress him and, like, get taken away to his lair. Anyways, but the victim survived the attack, and the perpetrators were eventually, because the trial went on for years, they were eventually found not guilty by reasons of insanity. And this was actually a really interesting case, because I was actually living in Chicago during this time, and Waukesha, sorry, no bubbly water this time to scare you when I open the lid, just regular water for me. Anyways, Waukesha, where this happened, it's only about 2 hours away from Chicago. So the attack on this poor girl, it was fucking all over the news. So as a quick refresher for those of you who might be too young to really remember it, because you might have been like 9. I don't know. I know there's quite a few patrons who are 18. Yeah, and if you were 18 now, you'd probably only be 9, so you probably wouldn't have known much about this. But anyways, this incident happened on May 31st, 2014 in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Two 12-year-old girls, Anissa Ware and Morgan Geyser, stabbed their friend, Peyton Lutner, I don't know, 19 times in a nearby woods. The victim survived the attack, surprisingly, but suffered from severe injuries. Why did I write that? Oh my god, that's so stupid. Of course she fucking suffered from injuries. She got stabbed 19 times. Anyway, so the two girls claimed they were inspired by the internet meme, Slender Man. And they thought that by committing the stabbings, they would become his proxies and live in his mansion. I'm making bunny ears, you can't see it, but just pretend that I'm making them. Anyway, so the two girls were arrested. They were walking along the I-95, or I-94, I think, one of the two. And the cops found them while Lautner was getting surgery from her injuries. So they were arrested and charged with attempted murder. During the trial, it was revealed that the girls had been planning the attack for months and had even created a makeshift altar to Slender Man in the woods where they planned to kill their friend. This case gained widespread media attention and sparked a debate about the effects of internet culture and the role of parents and guardians in monitoring their children's online activities. In 2017, I told you the trials went on fucking forever, both girls pleaded guilty to the charges and was sentenced to long-term mental health institutions. So, as you know, this is a deep dive into anything slash everything related to Slender Man. So I did some research about this case because while I was aware that this had happened, I didn't really know the particulars. I just knew that it was two girls who stabbed their friends, you know, blaming Slender Man for their heinous attack. I mean, it's a lot, right? When you think about it. 12 years old and you're already attacking someone with the intent on killing them. I mean, they stabbed Peyton almost 20 times. That's fucking insane. When I was 12, I was pretending to be fucking like Sailor Moon. Not fucking Sailor Moon. I meant like Sailor Moon. Well, Sailor Mercury, to be exact. Like, with my friends and running around the school playground. Like, what the actual fuck? It did not occur to me at 12 that I was gonna kill someone. No. Although, fucking that bitch, Britney. God damn, she was mean. Anyways, according to the article that I found, where the detectives suspected about who, okay, what did I write here? According to the article about who detectives suspected, okay. So, according to the article about who detectives suspected was the mastermind of the attacks, Morgan Geyser. Sorry, guys, I wrote this when I was like either not enough caffeine or too much. Anyways, apparently Morgan had shown a lack of empathy from a very young age, which I believe is what some would call a symptom of a psychopath or a sociopath. It's one of the two. Please don't make me look it up. Anyway, so the example that they used to illustrate Morgan's lack of empathy was the scene in Bambi when Bambi's mother, spoiler alert, is shot and die and is shot and killed. I know that scene very well. To this day, I refuse to watch it. I remembered seeing it when I was like 6 or 7 and being absolutely gutted about the whole affair. Like, it traumatized me. I can't think of many kids that weren't traumatized by that scene of the gunshot and then Bambi's running. He's running. Or is Bambi a he? Bambi's a he, right? But he's running and he's looking behind him and he can't see his mom and you just hear that gunshot echoing. Fuck, man. I'm still traumatized. Anyways, thinking back on it, like being as old as I am now, I'm not that old. Don't worry. I'm honestly really surprised that Disney would have included such a heavy topic in a children's movie. Like, if you watch any other Disney movie after that, you don't see another death like that. Unless you're talking about you know who from the movie that involved the very unlikely circumstance of a baboon raising a lion cub over his head and a stream of light hitting that cub at the exact same moment of the crescendo circle of life. Why the fuck didn't I just do the whole spoiler alert for Lion King when I did one for Bambi? I mean, you know what scene I'm talking about in Lion King? You know, Mufasa, Scar, Stampede, you know. Anyways, moving on. Remember, you guys asked for a casual podcast. You're getting a fucking casual podcast format. Okay, so the two girls that, Stab Peyton, Morgan Geyser, and Anissa Ware were both arrested and sentenced to, respectively, 40 and 25 years to mental institutions. Ware was, however, released in 2021, so she only served like 4 years, 3 years tops. She was remanded to her father's custody with an ankle bracelet monitoring her whereabouts and limited internet access, while Morgan Geyser is still at the Winnebago Mental Health Institute near Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Unlike Ware, who did not do the actual stabbing, Geyser remains at the mental institute to this day, and she's expected to stay there for the foreseeable future. And guys, I gotta tell you, I saw the picture that the police took of Peyton's shirt. You know, the one that she was wearing when she was attacked, and it was wow. Oh, wow, it's just red. The shirt was originally gray, but now it's just all red. Ironically, it's a shirt that reads love, hope, smile, beautiful, dream, which are things that Peyton might have never been able to do had she not survived the stabbings. You know, somehow she managed to yeah, they stabbed her fucking like 19 times, like twice in the liver, almost got her heart. If they got her heart, she would have definitely died. But she somehow managed to crawl her way out of the forest where a cyclist saw her and got her help. Like, 12 years old, stabbing someone 19 times with the intention of killing them, and totally premeditated. I mean, they'd been talking about this for months. This was not a crime of passion, and I think that's why Morgan Geyser is still, not allowed to be out among the general public. So while I was researching this, I kind of wondered how the creator, Eric, aka Victor, felt when he heard about the killings. Because, I mean, this is his creation. He started the whole Slenderman thing. Had it not been for him and those two pictures, Slenderman would have never come into existence. So I wondered how he'd felt when he heard about the killings. I looked it up. From what I can tell, he'd only made one comment to the media about this, officially, when he said, and I quote, "I am deeply saddened by the tragedy in Wisconsin, and my heart goes out to the families of those affected by this terrible act," told to the Associated Press in June of 2014. Like, I don't know. I gotta be honest. Like, reading his response, like, I'm aware that his response has probably gone through, like, a bunch of, like, edits. And, you know, it's because, you know, when you're writing something down, you kind of lose the nuance of everyone's, like, voice and expression and tone. But just strikes me as a very lukewarm response. Like, I don't know. Like, I was reading and I was like, oh, God, this sounds like those, like, the equivalent of, like, the stupid, like, thoughts and prayers, you know, you hear from people who have the power to stop certain tragedies from happening, but do nothing to stop future tragedies. I'm not trying to get political, but you know what I mean. But that's just my opinion. There is more than a 0% chance that something like this would have happened with the three girls, even if Slenderman never came into its existence. I don't know. Maybe they would have blamed Jeff the Killer or Five Nights at Freddy's or something. And the thing is, when I was doing my deep dive into this subject, I actually found the segment that the girls probably took as inspiration for the killings. So, like, all the things on the internet, a lot of them go through, like, the internet equivalent of the telephone game, right? So it's hard to say where this particular tidbit first started, or more importantly, how it got started. But there's this part of Slenderman lore that says, and I've said this before, but that says that if children kill other children, like, as a sacrifice, Slenderman will come for them and take them back to his place. To do what? Oh, probably best not to dwell that much thought on it. Anyways, let's get away from this particular little bullet point and move on to another bullet point that I mentioned previously. You'll see how this ties into the girls in a bit. Anyway, so that the new bullet point is marble hornets, which y'all might be familiar with because I know like the vast majority of my patrons find me on YouTube. Anyways, Marble Hornets, it is a series that debuted on YouTube in 2019 and follows the story of a man named Jay who is attempting to finish a student film project called Marble Hornets. However, as he reviews footage shot by his friend Alex, he begins to notice strange occurrences and bizarre figures. Ooh, I wonder what one of them might be appearing in the background of the footage. The most prominent of these figures is Slenderman, you know, who is portrayed as a faceless, tall, and unnaturally thin entity. Like, dude, go eat a fucking bagel. With the ability to manipulate people's minds and cause them to experience hallucinations and paranoia. Marble Hornets, when it came out, it really helped to establish many of the defining traits of Slenderman, including his distinctive appearance, his connection to forests and abandoned places, and his ability to manipulate and control the minds of those who came into contact with him. The series also popularized the concept of found footage horror, which has since become the staple of horror genre. Yeah, so it's probably not that much of a leap. So this is where the girls come into this. It's probably not that much of a leap to guess that Morgan and or Anissa might have taken what they learned from Marble Hornets just a little too seriously, which apparently is something that a lot of people seem to have done. You know, the whole taking it seriously part. Because There are reports of people claiming to have seen Slender Man in real life, and these have been circulating the web for years. Many of these accounts appearing online in forums and social media groups dedicated to the character. And while it's difficult to verify the authenticity of these claims, as you can guess, they do add to the mystique and fascination surrounding the character. Many of the reported sightings of Slender Man involve encounters in dark or wooded areas, similar to the settings depicted in many Slender Man stories and adaptations. Some people claim to have seen the character lurking in the shadows or standing ominously in the distance, while others report being pursued by the character or experiencing intense feelings of paranoia and dread. So, sorry, that sounded so like dismissive. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but okay. While it's important to approach these accounts with skepticism, of course, it's worth noting that some people who claim to have seen Slender Man may genuinely believe that they have encountered said beastie. Now, this could be due to the power of suggestion, like the tulpa and the collective consciousness that I was talking about earlier. This could be due to the power of that, or like the influence of media depictions of the character, or other psychological factors. And it's also worth noting that some people who claim to have seen Slender Man may be intentionally lying for attention or to perpetuate the legend. As Slender Man has become increasingly popular over the years, there has, of course, been a rise in hoax sightings and pranks involving the character. But going back to like the people who have claimed to have actually witnessed Slender Man, like the people who were like just fucking like, I fucking saw Slender Man, I would bet my life on it. I want you to close your eyes and picture this scene. Now, it's dark. It's late at night. For some godforsaken reason, you're in the woods or in an abandoned area. Just imagine, you hear nothing. And then off in the distance, the lack of light and the eerie silence could create an unsettling atmosphere, making you feel like you're being watched. So as you continue walking, you might catch a glimpse of a tall, slender figure in the distance, partially obscured by trees or other objects. That figure might appear to be watching you, with its unnaturally long arms and legs and featureless face adding to the feeling of unease. You might try to freeze or hide, hoping that the figure will go away and reveal itself to be something else, or reveal itself to be something else. And then, as you keep watching, the figure may move closer or disappear entirely. I hate this chair. Leaving the person feeling confused and disoriented. Afterwards, once they've survived, because obviously Slender Man doesn't exist, person might describe their encounter with Slender Man to others, convinced that they've had a genuine paranormal experience. However, it is possible that the figure they saw was simply a trick of the light, a person in costume. 'Cause, we all remember like the street side clowns and shit, right? Or, it could be someone in costume or a hallucination brought on by their own fears and anxieties. Like, if you've seen Slender Man, like a Slender Man movie, and then a few weeks later you're walking through an abandoned area, like, you're gonna see Slender Man everywhere. You're gonna fucking see Slender Man in your bathroom, for fuck's sake. Anyways, but it is a lot easier and more fun to tell people, oh yeah, I think I saw Slender Man, than it is to say, yo, I got scared by a really scary skinny ass tree. So, yeah, like I know what I would say, let's be honest. Anyway, so, yeah, you got Slender Man, and according to a lot of the fan games and movies out there, you've got to mention the notes. Yeah, the fucking notes. What the fuck are those all about? Well, those notes play a significant role in Slenderman lore, as they are often used as a storytelling device to convey information and build suspense. you know, because Slenderman doesn't talk, right? He just fucking kills you. In many Slenderman stories, the protagonist or other characters will come across a series of mysterious notes or documents that provide clues about the character's origins and motivations. Because, like I said, we don't know jack shit about Slenderman because, again, he doesn't talk. So these notes, they're often written by previous victims of Slenderman who have either gone missing, dead, or died under mysterious circumstances. The notes may contain warnings about the character's powers and abilities, or provide insight into, you know, Slenderman's true nature and intentions. In some stories, Slenderman himself may be the author of the notes, leaving them as a form of psychological manipulation or mind control. The notes may be intended to lure the protagonist into a trap or to sow seeds of doubt and paranoia. Sow or sow? Sow's a female pig, right? Notes are a commonly used storytelling device in Slenderman lore, and they serve several important functions in building the character and his mythos. One of the primary ways that the notes are used is to provide exposition and backstory. Exposition and backstory. He's a mysterious, enigmatic figure, and the notes can be used to fill in some of the gaps in our understanding of who he is and where he comes from. Because, like I said, we don't know jack shit about this guy. But here are some theories. Some notes might reveal that Slenderman is an ancient entity that has existed for centuries, or that he is a creature from another dimension that has come to our world to feed on human fear. The notes might also provide information about Slenderman's powers and abilities, such as his ability to manipulate the minds of his victims or to move at incredible speeds. You know? So it's like, it's fun to, like, those kind of ghosts are scary, right? Or monsters, I should say. You know, they're here 1 second and then they're there the next. You know, they fucking go cross-continental in, like, 2 seconds. But then, like, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie It Follows. I find those monsters to be way more terrifying. It's just horrible being that follows you relentlessly by walking, and you just got to keep on moving or it's going to get you and then bend you like you're a fucking piece of origami paper. Oh, that was a horrifying movie. Anyways, so in addition to providing exposition, the notes in the Slenderman lore can also be used to create a sense of suspense and tension in the story. Obviously, this goes for movies and video games. They are often used by characters who are already in a state of fear or paranoia, and the information contained in the notes only serves to heighten their anxiety. For example, a note might warn of an impending attack by Slenderman or provide details about the gruesome fate that awaits those who cross his path. Finally, notes can also be used to add depth and complexity to the character of Slenderman himself. In some stories, the notes might be written by previous victims who have managed to escape his grasp, and they might contain insights into Slenderman's motivations and psychology. For example, a note might suggest that Slenderman is not simply a mindless monster, but rather a creature driven by specific agenda or purpose. Which is an interesting segue, because a segue into the next part of this podcast, which is his origins. They are incredibly mysterious and ambiguous. I'm just going to say that out right now. I couldn't figure any of this shit out. So, like, the original story, which was written by Eric, aka Victor, he describes Slenderman as a supernatural being who appears in photographs taken by children in the woods. So while the original creepypasta did not provide a clear explanation for Slenderman's origins, it did suggest that he was an ancient and malevolent force that preyed on children and drove people to madness. And of course, like it does with, like the internet does with all media they get their fucking slimy ass hands on. Fans of Slenderman have developed their own theories about his origins, including, number one, otherworldly entity. Some fans believe that Slenderman is an extraterrestrial or interdimensional entity that has come to our world to feed on human fear and suffering. Y'all, I don't know about you, but if that were true, he'd fucking be so big, you'd just roll him down the street if you see him. Yeah. Okay, number two, demonic force. Others have suggested that Slenderman is a demonic force or fallen angel that has taken on a physical form in order to carry out its nefarious deeds. Three, this is my favorite theory, eldritch horror. Some fans believe that Slenderman is an eldritch horror, a type of supernatural being that is so beyond our comprehension that simply looking upon it can drive a person insane. That's definitely my favorite theory. You know, just because it makes more sense with what the information that we have on him. And then the last theory that we have is malevolent spirits. This one I believe in the least. Although it's kind of there with like alien or pissed off ghost. I don't know. Some fans believe that Slenderman is the vengeful spirit of a murdered child seeking revenge on those who have wronged it by haunting and terrorizing them. Yeah, so, yeah, according to the Slenderman lore, I was able to pull together, and boy howdy, there were a lot of them. If you ever do come across Slenderman, he doesn't exist. Anyways, it's supposed to be, like, an immediate death sentence. But that's not really fun, is it? Like, you've got to have some way to escape, right? Like, even if it's just, like, a 1 point or 0.00001% chance of survival. That's still something. So I went online to try to find some ways that you could protect yourself from this mysterious skinny ass giant who desperately needs a grand slam from Denny's. Here are some ideas that you can use. Number one, avoid areas associated with Slenderman. As you know, many people associate Slenderman with dark, isolated areas such as forests, abandoned buildings, and graveyards. If you are concerned about encountering Slenderman, you may want to avoid these types of areas altogether. Number two, stain groups. Slenderman is often depicted as targeting individuals who are alone or isolated. If you are in a group, if you are in an area where you feel vulnerable, stay with a group of friends or family members. Okay. Number three, carry a flashlight. Slenderman is often associated with darkness and shadow. By carrying a flashlight, you can make sure that you can see your surroundings clearly and reduce the chance of something unexpected. You know, yeah. And number four, this one's really funny. What's that British term? Again, let me look it up really quickly. Sorry. I just saw this in my notes and then I was like, oh, wait, I just made the, oh yeah, there it is. Keep calm and carry on. Which, it's a phrase that was produced by the UK in, 1939 in preparation for World War II. Sorry, according to Wikipedia. Anyway, so I have it written here. Stay calm. Many of the stories involving Slenderman describes him as inducing fear, panic, and madness in those who encounter him. By staying calm and rational, you can reduce the impact of any potential encounter and maintain control over your own thoughts and emotions. So yeah, just smoke some weed, drink some tea, do some yoga, you know, whatever. Whatever keeps you calm. And number five, and this is probably the most, this is probably the most important one. Seek professional help. If you are struggling with anxiety or fear relating to Slenderman You may want to consider seeking help from a medical, from a mental health professional. They can help you with developing coping strategies and help you address any underlying issues that may be contributing to your fears. Yeah, because he doesn't exist. Anyways, so right underneath this, I wrote in a very frustrating way for me, discuss tulpas and their relationship with Slenderman. So remember earlier when I was discussing like collective consciousness and tulpas, which is basically like manifesting real things out of thoughts. So like it is very possible that Slenderman does exist now because of all of the brain power that went into his character. Yeah, like it is possible that Slenderman does exist now. So after like a decade of people just thinking about Slenderman, talking about Slenderman, like making media about Slenderman, it's very possible. It's very likely that if tulpas exist, if collective consciousness is really a thing, Slenderman is out there, man. Yeah. He might be right behind you. So don't look back. Drink some tea. Smoke some weed. Do some yoga for fuck's sake. In conclusion, Slenderman. I cannot believe I talked about Slenderman for 45 minutes already. What time is it? 48 minutes. Wow. In conclusion, Slenderman has become one of the most iconic and enduring figures in modern horror. Originally created as part of an online forum thread, Slenderman has since inspired countless works of art, literature, and film, and has become a fixture in popular culture. Like, man, I used to go to like anime cons. I don't go anymore because I just don't. But there were a lot of people cosplaying as Slenderman back then. I don't know why. It wasn't like Comic-Con. We were at like fucking, you know, Anime Midwest or like fucking ASEN. Why the fuck are you cosplaying as a creepypasta? I don't know. Anyways, despite his fictional origin, Slenderman has definitely taken on a life of his own in the minds of many people, inspiring both fascination and fear. While there's no evidence to suggest that Slenderman exists in real life, the stories and legends surrounding him continue to captivate and terrify those who encounter him. Ultimately, Slenderman serves as a reminder of the power of storytelling and the human fascination with the unknown and the supernatural. Whether he is a product of our collective imaginations or something more, Slenderman has indeed left an indelible mark on modern horror and will likely continue to haunt our nightmares for years to come. You know, he might have started off as like a simple internet meme, but his legacy has grown far beyond that. He's really become the symbol of the power of the internet, like to create and like spread new legend, as well as a cautionary tale about the dark side of online culture. So, ooh, cross the 50-minute mark. Thank you so much for joining me on this deep dive about Slenderman. And I hope you'll join me in 2 weeks' time as we explore even more darker and scarier themes here on Did You Hear That? And suddenly now I'm getting flashbacks to Steve Urkel, which actually he might be too young for you guys. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this long ass podcast about Slender Man, which you probably already knew. He's a fascinating figure, what can I say? And you know, if tulpas and collective consciousness are a real thing, he might be right behind you. Just saying.